We've been talking about what change does for the last number of weeks, and today and next week, that's it for us, as far as there was eight that I put together in this series of what change does. And the overarching scripture that we've been hearing about each Sunday, been sharing with you about, comes from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 11. And there we see God describing for us how his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. And that when he speaks, when his word goes out, he says, it will go out and do what I want it to do. It will go out and change things, if you want to say it another way. It will go out, and it will not come back empty to me, God says. It will accomplish my purpose. God's word, indeed, changes things. And so we've been going over different things that we have found in Scripture, how what change does in our lives, and we talked about how it stretches us, like the some of you remember it was about the old wineskin and the new wineskin, and those who deal with that, you can't throw new wine into an old wineskin, it'll burst that. You have to use something new. And so life does stretch us at times. And we talked about becoming children of God, all because Jesus came for us. And we talked about restarting. And we happened to coincide with the Sunday we came back as well. But God gives us a restart each and every day, that we can have that change in our lives and get restarted. And we know that there is a reason that change is there. There's an intention to it. And it does produce things in us. It's there to cause us to produce fruit, to share in what God has given to us. And last week we talked about how it inspires us and how the resurrection should inspire us each and every day, and how it inspired, it set those hearts on fire for those gentlemen that were on the road to Emmaus as Jesus shared with them. And today we're going to talk about how it amazes us, the change in our lives. And next week we'll be looking at how it includes. But as we look at our scripture this morning, it's from Acts chapter 2. We hear about it at Pentecost. It is as part of the Pentecost story. We're picking it up sort of in the middle of it. But what has happened is folks have come for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it was known then as Pentecost. We've changed it in our Christian, what we see it as. But it was a time where they came in and celebrated things. And many folks from all over the Jewish world would come to Jerusalem, much like they did for Passover. They would also come for this feast and gather around, and they would be from all over the place. And we see that earlier in Acts chapter 2, of where they've come from. And then we learn and we see in the scripture that the Holy Spirit comes and rests on each one as though there were little flames on top of their heads. Well, what was happening is these disciples who were just Galileans, as they were speaking, people were hearing in their own language. So that when I were to say, hola mi amigos, you would instantly have heard, hi, my friends. Wouldn't that have been something to hear? This is long before technology like they have at the UN today. They've got all those little earpieces in, and someone's in a room somewhere translating for them when there's a speaker up front. But this was the Holy Spirit doing it instantaneously for every here or there. And so we pick up in the middle of that story as we look here at chapter 2 and verses 12 through 21 of Acts. Would you stand as we honor the reading of God's word? Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. And then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The word of God for the people of God. There is a little room in a house, and I'm assuming the house still stands since this was a long time ago. But there was a house in 1967 in Wonder Lake, Illinois, where my father took the pastorate for Grace Baptist Church. Not only was it the parsonage, it was, at that moment, the church building when we first moved in. For church was in the basement. And we had wooden chairs set up, and there's about six rows each in the basement. It was just a wide open basement. The mimeograph machine, anybody remember those? The mimeograph machine, I remember. The stairway came from the kitchen. There was also a side door, which is where everybody came in. It came down from the kitchen to the half landing. You could go outside, or you can turn and go down to the basement. So that was the entrance to the church. And people would come down, and you were at the back of the sanctuary. And we had a little church there, mimeograph over there. There was a curtain behind the pulpit, and in behind there was the washer and dryer that we used to do our laundry. We ended up moving out to the school gymnasium and having church. We had grown beyond that little basement. But up on the second floor, in the far back corner, my brother and I had a bedroom. And there on a Friday night, as I laid in my bed, I called on the name of Jesus, and he saved me. And I know I've shared with many of you before, when life gets woo, that's the room in my spirit that I go to. And I am reminded that we have an amazing Savior and Lord. He's amazing. Life changed that night for me. And that life has continued to change. And life and change still amazes. It amazed people on this day, that first, that when the Spirit came on that Pentecost, what we call now called the Day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, it changed people's lives. And it changed the life of the church. And as we look at what Peter addressed the crowd with, he was quoting from the prophet Joel. And he said, you know, this is okay. This is a good change. This is something that is happening, and it's a good thing. Don't think they're drunk. Besides, it's only 9 in the morning. It shouldn't be that. They are experiencing an amazing thing. The Holy Spirit of God has come upon them. And it was promised by the prophet Joel. And it was, first of all, there for their inner transformation. God says, I'm going to pour out my soul on people. I'm going to pour it out on sons and daughters, and they're going to be able to prophesy. I'm going to pour out my spirit on young men, and they're going to have visions. I'm going to pour out my spirit on old men, and they're going to have dreams. I'm going to do things. I'm going to do amazing things because of my spirit in someone's life. And there's going to be a transformation. And we've talked about it in some of our previous messages about change. Is that there's this thing that's happening on the inside. Because the way it was working on the outside just wasn't getting the job done. Trying to do that checklist of laws and rules, remember? All of that was supposed to work on the inside. And what was happening was, oh, we just did the checklist. And then we, on the inside, we just did whatever we wanted to do. But God said, I'm going to pour out my spirit. And you're going to be amazed at what will happen when there's that transformation begins to happen from the inside out. That inner transformation for sons and daughters, for young men, for old men, for everybody. There's an inner transformation happen as God pours out his spirit. And we find that that spirit is for everyone. When we look at the Old Testament, when we look there, we find that the Spirit would come and rest on different ones, and usually for a very specific task that God had called them to do. But here, as we come on this side of the day of Pentecost, as we live in this New Testament era, as we're waiting for Jesus to come back, the Holy Spirit is there for each one who has accepted Christ into their heart and into their lives. Status doesn't matter. Slave or free, he talks about servants in our scripture as he quotes from Joel. Male or female, he says, it doesn't matter. Rich or poor, black or white, or any other color in between. Doesn't matter. Because the Holy Spirit does amazing things in each believer's life. He includes each one in his ministry. He draws us all together. And that's why the church has such an important job in our culture today, to break down barriers. Because God does not discriminate. He poured out his Spirit on all who come to Jesus Christ. Status doesn't matter. Your position in life doesn't matter. The color of your skin doesn't matter. The amount of money in your bank account doesn't matter. The kind of car you drive doesn't matter. Nothing matters to God except, did you accept Jesus Christ? Did you call upon his name? And God says, if you call on his name, you will be saved. And my Holy Spirit will be poured out on you, and you will be amazed at what he can do in our individual lives and in the life of our church and in the life of his church universal. If we were to allow the Holy Spirit free reign to make that inner transformation, to remember that all of God's people are included in this ministry, and the Holy Spirit is unified. We're not so unified sometimes, but the Holy Spirit is unified in his mission, in his ministry, and we need to pay attention to that. We find in Joel wonders that were shared. They inspired people. They also scared them a little bit as well. These things that Joel was speaking to, Bible scholars would tell us that he's referring to the plagues that came upon the land of Egypt when Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, God wants you to let his people go back home. And Pharaoh said, nope, not going to do it. And another plague would come, and we can go back to Exodus and read about those plagues. And many of these descriptions in our scripture today, as we're quoting from Joel, are reminders of that. But the idea behind the plagues is the same thing as the wonders that we see in our world today. It's for God to get our attention. That's why he provides wonderful things to us. Whether it's a beautiful sunset or a beautiful sunrise, it wasn't so we'd get our camera out and take a nice picture and that's all good. But God says, look at that. And if you do be able to do that, God says, I did that. Oh, sure, we can describe how it's done scientifically. But just describing how it's done scientifically doesn't mean we were able to recreate it. God did that. God does these wonderful things. God purposely does things or purposely does not do things so that our attention is grabbed. I'm going back here a few months, and it took me back to this video as well. All those empty cities. The world stopped. And on a grander scale, someone would say, well, God, why didn't you do something? And God's saying, I did. Look, the world stopped. Now what are you going to do? You know what happened? And I know that COVID, set aside that COVID had a negative impact on people's lives and their deaths and all that. I'm not discounting that at all. But did you notice, at least for a couple months, everybody's priorities changed? Everybody's. What they thought was important wasn't so important after all. You don't think God got our attention? God got the attention of everyone who was there in Jerusalem that day. Some laughed at it. Some scoffed at it. But some like, woo, let me have this amazing thing. Let me have this pouring out of your Spirit, Lord. Let me have this transformation that comes through Jesus Christ. God does things in our daily lives to get our attention. And maybe I'm just speaking to myself, but I get so wrapped up in things. This has been a terrible month at work. Lots of things going on, but a lot of stuff that it would have been nice if it didn't happen, because then we're trying to fix things. We're in fix-it mode, right? And because of mistakes that a human being made, and we do make them. I feel sorry for, in one case, an individual typed one letter wrong. And boy, it made a mess of things for about a week at work. To one of my employees full-time, another employee half their time, another employee 25% of their time, another one 100% of his time for a week, as well as the vendor who did it wrong. Just one of those kind of things. And I say that to say, sometimes we let life get so wrapped up in our focus. And God says, wait a minute. Remember you were rethinking your priorities just a few months ago? What happened? I see it happening to me, and I see it happening to some around me. we're starting to slip back into there's other things more important rather than sticking with the amazing change that God has brought into our lives. What change does is amazes us at what God can do. Now, it brings fear and trepidation at times when it comes. I was reading a story that I identified with of a gentleman. He was talking about his kids. They were in Toronto, and apparently it's one of the large, or one of the taller buildings in the world is there in Toronto, a pretty tall building. This gentleman, and the reason I identify with this gentleman, he has fear of heights. And his kids said, come on, Dad, let's go up to the top of the skyscraper, and then we can see all of Toronto and all that. It'll be good. He said, well, maybe, it might not be a bad view. And if he's like me, he's like standing up against the wall. That's what I did. The last time I got up high was the Kings Island Eiffel Tower. So he said, oh, come on, it won't be that bad up there. I walked down, oh, my gosh. That thing is like 10 feet away, the rail over there, but I'm up against the wall. And she said, our house is over there. I think our house is over there, but that's good enough. I see it. Let's go. But this gentleman was talking about, he got in that elevator. They kids, come on, Dad, let's go up there. Okay. He's not real thrilled about elevators either, but he got on. What his kids didn't tell him was that the elevator doors and the walls were all made of glass. And the moment they got up to the second floor, all you see is opening and the ground just disappearing or going away from you. He said, oh, I'm so glad to get to the observation floor and get off that elevator. No, the glass, the floors are made out of glass. He said, I did get to go see the Grand Canyon, and they convinced me to walk out on that glass thing where you can just see down in the Grand Canyon. He said, it's pretty. But the fear that comes over for those of us who have that fear of heights. And someone told him, he said, well, that's what fear of the Lord is supposed to be. You have that anxiousness and the fear of the Lord. And you don't have to be scared. It's just that anxiousness. You don't have to. But then he said, no, there's other scripture that says to fear the Lord because he's the one that has power over life and death for you. God gives us these wonders to get our attention. He gives us that anxiousness to get our attention. I know it might be a little unreasonable, but getting up high does grab my attention. There is certain death if the wind blows me over that railing in my mind. And so we do get a little anxious when change is there and when wonders come in our lives. But God is wanting to do a new thing. He's doing a new thing in our scripture today. And I dare say he's always wanting to do a new thing for us. Now, it's almost a little bit of a paradox, but it's not really when you think about it. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Scripture says that. But you know what's not in Scripture? God's people are the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never says that. In fact, when we read throughout all of Scripture, God is always about getting us to change, to get on the same page as Him, to be found in His will, to be doing what He's empowering us to do, to be amazed at the pouring out of His Spirit. That's what change does, is amazes us. Sure, it scares us, it makes us anxious, it makes us nervous, and all those things we can put in there. But if we really look at it, it amazes us. The change that God brings in our lives can be amazing. Even if the circumstances are negative, God being there can bring amazement. He got the world's attention just a few months ago. He's trying to get the world's attention today. He did it here on the day of Pentecost. He did it on a Friday. He did it on a Sunday 3 days later. He's been working to get our attention so that we might see the change that He is actively doing in our lives and be amazed. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Change is amazing. We heard in our special music today, grace is amazing. The Lord is amazing. Each day with Him is amazing.